I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into The Memo on this Wednesday, May the 18th, 2016. Chris Kiefer giving me the affirmative nod because I've lost track of the days. How is it May 18th already? I don't know. Emma Kent here with me, special guest co-host, filling in for Derek Russell, who's playing hooky or working maybe.
Watching Back to the Future or something.
Probably. Or Ghostbusters or something else.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for filling in, Emma. How you doing?
I'm good, Brad. How are you?
Great, I guess.
You guess.
I'm better. Look, I'm not wearing my glasses today.
I know. Your eye looks a little...
The eye's clearing up, though. It was worse.
Yeah.
Trust me. It still looks scary, but it was worse.
It
feels better, too.
Well, that's good.
Does it look scary to you from there?
It's not that scary.
If I open real wide?
Well, that's just kind of weird.
Yeah. So I heard you had some... trying to come up with some music for Derek when he's gone, some theme music.
I thought it would be fun if we came up with like a little jingle to play when one of you is out.
Oh.
You know, to kind of let the world know that you're not on the show today. So we could play it like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Chris produces. I'm not making any decisions here. but so we came up with one for you.
Oh, yeah? How's it go?
It's to the tune of that song that goes... Love hurts. Love hurts. That
song.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
But it's, where's Brad? And that's all I got.
We're talking about Love Bites by Def Leppard?
Sure.
Or that.
Maybe it's, I don't know. I'm 23.
True.
I don't know.
That song came out before you were born.
excuse my
Brad's
musical.
How's it go again?
Shortcomings.
Brad's gone? Is that
where's Brad?
Where's Brad?
Or it could be Brad's gone, but if it's where's Brad, then we can kind of have fun with where you might be. But I've yet to come up with a good one for Derek because his name just doesn't quite...
Where's Derek?
Yeah, no,
it didn't flow there.
It didn't work quite as well.
Is it too many
you
syllables?
You have a good one-syllable name.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so...
Well, technically my name is Brad Lee, but nobody calls me that, usually.
Wayne.
Bradley.
It's not Bradley Wayne. Although they had the one person that I was friends with growing up that would call me Bradley Wayne for I don't know why.
Yeah.
But your middle name's not.
It's not Wayne.
Wayne is his disc jockey name.
It was way back in the day. We're talking like 20 years ago.
Before you were born.
Nah, she was born. This was like 96, 97, somewhere in there.
Oh, I was born.
She was born. She was in pull-ups.
Probably.
Wayne. I don't know what I was thinking. I was in college. I was young and stupid. Made a lot of bad decisions back then.
Some things never change.
Tell us a story, Brad.
Of what?
About when you made a bad decision in college.
I'm not sure if I can pick one out.
Too many.
So many. It was the time I almost joined a fraternity. That would have been a bad decision. From my perspective, I'm not big on fraternities. I don't even know why I decided to join it. Then I bailed like a week beforehand and ended up transferring schools anyway, so whatever.
Just so that they didn't haze you?
No, I just was like...
Was that like the transfer connected to the not joining the fraternity?
No, I was going to transfer anyway. And by that point, I was like, I'm probably going to transfer anyway, so what's the point? And
that's exactly why you should have joined, just to like...
Well, and then I realized this is just not for me. Okay, I tried it. It's not working. Okay, I'm not a party person. They're having parties all the time. I'd rather just stay home or just go out, have a bonfire or
play
something.
Country music on the radio.
Or yeah. Go spin some CDs. The country station.
Did they have CDs then?
Yes. And I had to put them in there by hand in the CD player at the station. They didn't have all this. It was about that time that they started automating everything on the computer. A lot of stations did back in the mid to late 90s. So now I don't think they even handle CDs anymore. It's pulled up on the computer and there you go.
What was the tagline for the station?
I still have a mug that has the tagline. What did it say? We had three or four different taglines.
What's your favorite one?
KXKZ, I don't know. KXKZ, Today's Country Hit, something stupid like that.
Oh, I didn't know it was a country radio station.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah.
That's so much better.
KXKZ, 107.5, Ruston, Monroe.
I did not know that.
100,000 watts, I think. Or was it 50,000? No, I forget.
I don't think we picked it up in New Orleans.
I think it was 50,000.
I don't think I could hear you.
Yeah, it's an FM station. It's probably 50,000. Okay.
I don't speak radio. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's good times. I worked there like all of 10 months. 7 to 12 shift, usually. Sometimes overnight. That was fun.
That's longer than you worked at Walmart.
It is. I worked at Walmart for about 2 months out of high school. Hated it. Quit.
But
worked at Sam's for about a month in St. Louis. Hated it. Quit.
But to they're retail, still expecting you to show up at Walmart, though, right?
Yeah. Still waiting for me to turn in my vest.
You still have your vest?
I don't know. It's probably been chucked. I don't think I turned it in, though.
What did you do at Walmart? Were you a greeter?
No idea. It was the This was in Ruston. For people who I know, y'all don't care. They opened a big super center there in Ruston in '94, and so I got a job there as they were preparing to open it. So I was like doing some stuff just to help, put finishing touches on the store. And then after that, I was like a cashier or cart wrangler or kind of pretty much whatever they needed me to do.
Cart wrangler. Yeah. Bradlock.
Cart wrangler. That sounds so country too.
Yeah. I did a lot of...
When I'm not playing country music, I'm wrangling horses and carts.
I hated being a cashier. Had to deal with people.
So I would just hate having to like count the money and make change and stuff.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. It's just like when
basic
people,
math is
just like when
not
people come up there with like 100 items, I'm like, just go away.
And then, you can only have four of those.
Wasn't the story you had a baseball game or something and just didn't show up?
Yeah, I had a baseball, an all-star tournament game. And so I called in, quote, sick, which I wasn't sick. But I played up like I wasn't everything.
And then never came
and
back.
And then I went and played the game and never came back to work. They could totally tell I was faking. I didn't care.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I told y'all this story. That was also the place where that guy tried to steal a bunch of cologne, shoving it down his pants. Walks out the store, we run out after him, and then he gets to the edge of the parking lot and jumps through the car, an open car window. This guy's driving in the parking lot. He's trying to get a ride with this guy. This guy's like, no. But the thief jumps through the window. Turns out it was an off-duty cop that he jumped through the window.
Yeah. Man, that is...
I'm also waiting for
that's
the
worst luck ever.
Where the cologne bottles all break.
Yeah, I don't know. He had them all down in his pants legs, and it was... Yeah. So, fun times. And that is where my hatred of Walmart really began, is after I worked there. All Walmarts smell the same.
You saw where the sausage is made.
Yes. You don't, yeah. Exactly.
Nice Hamilton reference there by Chris Kiefer.
I haven't seen Hamilton or heard the music or whatever.
You haven't seen it? Well, I guess you haven't gotten tickets?
I guess you have to go
you mean
see
you
it
haven't
in New York.
Seen it? Everybody's seen it.
I don't know.
It's easiest ticket in town.
I don't do musicals. We've been over that, though. I don't do musicals.
I love musicals.
Everybody loves Hamilton. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing out on something. I can't have a conversation about it.
Well, you should listen to it.
Have you tried Green Eggs and Ham? You might like it.
It's just not my style of music. Sorry.
That's cool. I get that.
Man, I don't.
Show tunes, I just don't do them.
But it's not show tunes, though.
Well, close enough.
Not at all, actually.
I don't know. Whatever. It's from a musical, right? I mean, there's some songs I like from musicals. There's exceptions.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like a traditional musical is I guess what I'm trying to
okay,
say.
Okay, okay. Well, I'd give it a go
My dad listened to a lot of show tunes growing up, and we didn't like that at all. We used to make fun of the station he listened to a lot. But and I've come to appreciate it. Like, I like Les Mis a lot. But also, I mean, I wouldn't say that's a traditional-sounding musical. But Hamilton is I would say total different end of the spectrum, just the style. I mean, it's...
Well, I haven't heard any of it, so I don't know. Maybe I'd like it. You never know. Growing up, my parents would listen to this station.
It's not country, so you might not like it.
Oh, I've expanded my musical horizon since then. My parents would listen to this station that basically played Muzak the entire time when I was growing up. That, or not just Muzak, but like, people would remake songs in that Muzak style. But they would also play like some Sinatra or some... Neil Diamond or whatever, some not terrible stuff. So anyway, then when I first heard my first top 40 station when I was like 7 or 8, I was like, this is amazing. Van Halen. I want to say the first rock song I heard was Van Halen's Jump. Is that sad? Because I was like 8 years old by that point. Anyone? No.
Or, yeah, I know the song.
Is that sad? I'm asking if that's sad. Anyone else thinks that's sad?
It's not sad.
Well, they Van Hagar over that point. It was David Lee Roth gone. I think he was gone. A lot of people don't like the Van Halen after David Lee Roth. Whatever. They're okay. Okay, we have a show to do today. Let's do that instead of talking about my youth, my youthful indiscretions.
But it's so fun.
Yeah, we got William Moore coming on to talk about the latest on the plane crash from earlier this week in Tupelo. We've got Lauren Wood talking about her In Focus photo essay, and she also did a cool video, and William did the story. A nice little package they did on Monday involving these two young ladies going through the police academy training. And we've got food with Jenna Parsons, and we've got crime reports that we couldn't get to Monday because we had that abbreviated show, so we'll do crime reports today. And I need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's, the locally owned grocery store, still offers high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main. All right, let's do the show. Okay, let's welcome in William Moore, Daily Journal crime reporter slash Van Halen expert.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We were just talking about Van Halen and Jump off the album 1984. That was still David Lee Roth. Okay, as you noted off the air. But in the video,
he did his backflip.
Okay, so they changed their sound before he left. I couldn't remember.
That was the album where they started to change their sound to going more for a pop feel.
Lots more
keyboards.
And frankly, I like that song. I think it's kind of iconic, but a lot of people who had a history of listening to Van Halen in their early days obviously didn't like that departure. But I was like 8 when that song came out, so I thought it was the greatest. You know, that whole childhood imprint thing, I still think it's good, even if it's not. Anyway, enough of Van Halen. Let's talk about something, well, not as fun to talk about, but it's certainly
more serious.
Yeah, certainly been the big news of the week. On Monday, an airplane went down just after taking off from the Tupelo Regional Airport. 4 people from Texas died. Henry Jackson, his wife, Gwen Groggle, then another couple, Charles and Carrie Torty, all from Kerrville, Texas. National Transportation Safety Board. Was in town. The officials were in town yesterday, the investigative team. And they've pretty much done their work here in Tupelo, haven't they? They
have done all that they can do here.
Right.
I mean, they talked to folks. They did interviews. They checked flight logs. They went to the site, documented the wreckage, and basically picked up all the bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And are hauling away to a secure location where they will go in depth and try to recreate and figure out exactly what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the press conference yesterday, they did give us more information to figure out a little bit more about what happened. They were saying that shortly after the plane took off, the pilot did make 2 distress calls back to the tower at the airport saying, we have a problem. There's smoke in the cabin.
Yeah.
We need to turn around.
Yeah.
And it's standard protocol when a pilot makes a call like that, the airport, basically, they'll shut down any other traffic and give them clearance to come back.
Yeah.
So the plane was trying to turn around and get back when it crashed.
Yeah. And apparently, obviously a mechanical failure of some kind. And what we have in the story here, the lead investigator, Millicent Hoidle, who spoke with the media yesterday, said a part of the
exhaust system. Yeah, the reports were that, as it took off, folks saw something falling off.
Yeah, the exhaust system. Yeah,
but after everything happened, they went and they basically swept the runway. I mean, they checked everything on the runway, around the edges, and they found pieces of the exhaust system.
Yeah. Wow.
Which would lead you to think, that it was some sort of mechanical failure. Reports of witnesses in the area were saying, that it was smoking a lot. I actually had someone call me just a minute ago saying that he and his wife saw it, and the reason they noticed something different was they thought it was a crop duster. It was smoking that bad.
Wow, really? Jeez. So, pretty much the moment they take off, there's trouble.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of time to react. They were trying to get back, and something happened.
Yeah.
We won't know. The NTSB is saying that they'll release the preliminary report within 5 to 10 days. That'll basically be a 1-page or less saying, here's what we think might have happened. And right. It'll take them, you know, anywhere from a year to a year and a half before they actually sort through all the pieces and figure out exactly what happened.
Yeah, yeah, 12 to 18 months, it says here, for the full factual report that they'll make public on their website. You know, again, trying to find out some details exactly, but, you know, they didn't get very far off the ground, obviously, and they didn't go very far. But when you're talking about an airplane, especially when loaded down with fuel and it caught fire when it crashed, and you're landed in a wooded area, I mean, we've seen plane crashes recently here that the people survived or at least had to make crash yeah. landings, but this is... I guess a little bit different situation just with the woods and the fact that they caught fire. And I mean, I don't know if they can determine if the crash killed them or the fire, but.
I mean, they've sent the bodies to Jackson for the autopsy. Right. You know, they might be able to determine that.
Hard to say.
It'll be really hard to say, I mean, because that plane carries about a little over 100 gallons of fuel.
Yeah. And they were headed for Virginia.
They were headed for Charlottesville, Virginia.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, you know, and from the discussions, you know, apparently this was just two couples that have known each other for years and just yeah. like to travel together.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about this a little bit on the Facebook Live yesterday, but Henry Jackson, longtime member of the Texas Civil Air Patrol, and his wife as well, both lieutenants, I believe.
Right.
And explain a little bit to people exactly what the Civil Air Patrol is.
It's a sort of a group that helps with military and law enforcement.
Volunteers.
They're all volunteers yeah. During times where they need aerial assistance for search and rescue missions.
Right.
They'll provide that. And they also have a mission where they help introduce younger people to aviation. I mean, they have a big volunteer or junior cadet kind of program where they help introduce kids, give, you know, a lot of times the kids' first time to be up in a plane. We'll be in a Civil Air Patrol plane.
Right, right.
And we actually have a group here in Tupelo that does that.
Huh. Okay, okay. Well, this is we had a fatality about 5 years ago. People may remember that. A twin-engine Cessna kind of veered off the runway and it crashed into trees in somebody's front yard off of Coley there. So, I mean, it's a rare event. You see all the planes coming in and out all day long. And Jason Shelton noted more than once that this was not an issue of safety at the airport. It's just kind of one of those freak things, I guess.
It's kind of one of those things that's, you know, one of the comments that the airport director, Cliff, made yesterday was, you know, when you're flying, sometimes things go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, there's just, the margin of error is a lot slimmer when you're, you know, 400, 500 feet in the air.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
opposed to, you know, if you're driving down the road and something happens in your car and the engine cuts out, you know, you can coast over to the side of the road.
Right. I mean,
when you're in an airplane, there's, yeah. Not a lot of options.
Yeah, I mean, they say statistically flying is safer than driving, but when it comes to your engine cutting out.
Yeah. Well, if you know pilots and you go through and you watch them with their pre-flight mm-hmm. routine, I mean, there's a huge sheet. I mean, there's like 100 different checkpoints.
Yeah, you got to be thorough.
That yeah. they go through every time before they, you know, take the plane up in the air. And, you know, how many times does anybody do that with their car?
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, basically, with your car, you just go out there, turn the key, go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're when it comes to aircraft, they do a lot more checking before they actually get up in the air.
Right, right. Well, I don't know what's next for this, William. They've taken the wreckage off. I guess it's just kind of a wait and see what they come up with.
Basically, we'll hear some preliminary report probably next week.
Okay.
And then after that, it's just going to be wait and see.
Okay. Well, good work, William. Appreciate you coming on here with us for a few minutes.
All right, glad to do it.
The Daily Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We recently have removed our paywall, and djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products, ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Visit djournal.com to stay informed of the latest news in Northeast Mississippi. Whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods, you can find it all in one place. There's no limit to what you can do at djournal.com, so come and stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve. Need to remind you all of the two sports podcasts that we do here every week, produced by the Daily Journal and djournal.com. New episode of Prep Rally coming at you today, as we do every Wednesday. Gene Phelps and myself Talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports. Got the state baseball championships going on in Pearl this week. That's where Gene is, so we'll do a podcast today with him. We'll get him on the phone. It won't be a webcast. No webcast today. Just too difficult to try to make that work with Gene's technical capabilities. But not Gene, his machine. But anyway, we'll have a podcast this afternoon. And normally on Thursdays, but this week on Friday, a new episode of Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. Talking Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports. Again, that's normally on Thursdays. Got something Parrish has to deal with tomorrow, so he and Logan will tape on Friday. You listen to those podcasts free, by the way, on iTunes or your podcast apps. Listen to Prep Rally also online, preprally.djournal.com, and Double Coverage is at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Let's welcome in Lauren Wood to the program, photographer for the Daily Journal. You look like you're having a fantastic day, Lauren.
Hey, Brad. I have a sinus infection.
How's that? Yeah, I've had those. They suck.
And I can't sleep, so I've been more alert.
Thanks for being
not quite the most right now, but
well, thanks for being a trooper.
I'm here.
Yes,
we'll do the interview.
Being a trooper and doing this, you had a really cool thing on Monday. William Moore wrote the story, but you did a bunch of photos. You did a video on these two young ladies participating in the police academy. Mm-hmm. It's the North Mississippi
Law Enforcement Training Center.
There you go.
It's a mouthful.
It's a big.
Caitlin
Weeks and Bree Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The two female cadets out of a class of 14.
Right. And you've been following them for like months now, haven't you? When did you start following them?
February. And kind of checked in with them occasionally here and there, see what they're up to, and got to, you know, photograph them in different instances, like during emergency vehicle training week while they're driving around in the police cars, or like an active shooter situation, and, you know, just different things that all the cadets go through that they like prepare them for the force and for you know, the sheriff, for police. Yeah. So that was really interesting to see. And also, like, I wanted to do the female aspect because they're, like, female cops in general, they're a minority of in the minority. You know, it's a male-dominated field, and I wanted to kind of get, you know, William interviewed them and did a great story and kind of, you know, also, like, points on, like, what made you want to go into this and, you know, what their experience was like being female versus, you know, so.
Well, and what did kind of drive them into doing police work?
So Caitlin Weeks said she wanted to be a game warden and wanted to just go this route, going through the police force and hopefully doing something along that. She said she's always loved like hunting and being outdoors and that kind of thing, conservation officer. And then Bree, she said that she actually studied like criminal justice for a little while in college, but then kind of went to another job. But also like a lot of her friends are cops and motivated her to do it. And she's like, I want to do this, you know, and. Yeah. And she said that, you know, in that aspect, like the policing aspect, like there's nothing that those two females can't do that their male counterparts can't do either. So I thought that was really neat. They were also both two of three. There was a platoon leader, an overall platoon leader, but there were three squad leaders, and they were two of the three. They were chosen to be squad leaders. Wow. So, yeah, I thought that was neat, too.
That is neat. Yeah. And, you know, since you got kind of a close-up look at how they did going through this process, I mean, they, from your perspective, I'm assuming they were able to hang with the guys pretty well.
Yeah. And just even all the cadets going through, like, they're up at, you know, running at 5:30 every morning, and they have, you know, very rigorous schedules. Like they turn their cell phones in at the beginning of the week, and they're kind of just immersed in this police training like throughout the week. And they do go home on the weekends, but then they're back at it. I think it's 11 or 12 weeks long whole process is. So
I remember you had to get up real early to go shoot pictures at like 5:30 one morning.
Yeah. And they like run every morning, and they come back and do like pull-ups and sit-ups and everything, and then start their day. That's
very
disciplined.
What made you want to do this project, and what kind of prompted you to do it, and how did you come up with this idea?
It was something I personally wanted to do a long-term project, and I had spoken with William about this actually probably maybe last summer. And we were like, he got in touch, and I specifically wanted to do like the female aspect, you know, either firefighter or police, because it is, like I said, they're both pretty male dominated and
right.
kind of what their journey was like. But William helped orchestrate that, and we started with the class 54, B-54.
Wow.
This year, yeah. So it was a neat process to see and kind of what they all learned, and being a little part of it was really neat.
Yeah, it makes you want to go be a cop, take on a second career.
I don't know if I have the I have it in me to do it, but I definitely respect them.
I sure don't. I'd be a terrible cop. I'm too nice.
Really?
Okay, yeah. You're doing 25 over. I'll let you go this time.
You're good.
Lauren, I just want to ask about just the process. I mean, kind of what that was like. Mm-hmm. Going every now and then, mm-hmm. I mean, going, you know, throughout a long period, what kind of things you saw, what maybe you kind of learned from working on this over a long time?
It's always a challenge to do a long-term project, like personally outside of just this project, but like you kind of have to stay up on it yourself and kind of keep going. And it was a good challenge for me to check in, keep going. But you know, they were super awesome to work with, really friendly and accessible, and you know, I could let me come like, oh yeah, stop by for this, like we're doing this. And I think some of the coolest things, like they, you know, did a lot of like firearms training, and I know they both enjoyed that, and the vehicle training. And but I'm really grateful that they let me work on the story with them. It was really cool to see them through the process and like be there with them on graduation day too, kind of once it all culminated and everything. So yeah, it was really neat. And I really wish the best of luck to both Bree and Caitlin. So
yeah, you had the, we had the story in Monday's Journal along with the, and it was also your In Focus photo essay. It was several photos of them. Yeah. And then online, we've got even more photos. Mm-hmm. And the story and the video.
Yes.
With
a whole lot of content.
Yeah, with talking to Caitlin and Bree both. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff there. Again, that's in Monday's Journal or at djournal.com. Lauren, good work. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. And I just want to say congrats to all the cadets.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Governor Phil Bryant signed on Tuesday legislation that allows the issuance of nearly $250 million in state debt through the sale of bonds. Nearly $225 million of the total includes funds for major projects. The money will also fund a long list of projects in Northeast Mississippi. That includes $750,000 to help with the construction in Tupelo's Veterans Park of a replica of the Vietnam War Memorial. Members of the State Bond Commission can still block the issuance of bonds for any of the proposals. Bryant serves on that commission and said he will carefully review each project.
Tupelo City Council members voted on Tuesday to purchase more than 76 acres of property at a price of $450,000. The land is located near the corner where Bryan Drive and Monument Drive meet. The purchase is part of an ongoing and aggressive campaign to bolster development and redevelopment within the city. Council members Willie Jennings and Mike Bryan opposed the purchase. Their primary concern was the lack of a concrete plan for the land. However, Mayor Jason Shelton called it a tremendous opportunity for the city.
This year's Law Enforcement Memorial Service will be held Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at the Elvis Presley Birthplace and Event Center in Tupelo. The event will last about 30 minutes and will include the playing of taps, a 21-gun salute, and the reading of the names of the area's officers who have been killed in the line of duty. Adam Harmon will serve as the guest speaker. He is the brother of slain Lee County jailer Casey Harmon.
The Tupelo man wanted in connection with the Friday night shooting of a Tupelo cab driver was arrested on Monday. Leontay Gates faces charges of capital murder, armed robbery, grand larceny, and possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. He was denied bond and will return to court on July 5th for his arraignment. The 23-year-old Gates is accused of robbing and murdering Tupelo cab driver Charlie Williams. Passing motorists found Williams' body in the middle of Graham Drive around 10 p.m. on Friday. Gates turned himself in after more than 2 days on the run.
Jesse Bondre was inspired by civic leader Jack Reed Sr.'s legacy to create a new nonprofit to open more volunteer opportunities. 10 for Tupelo will work to pick up trash in neighborhoods and eradicate downtown graffiti. Bondre presented the idea to the city council in April. It will gather volunteers in Fair Park once a year for a day. They will work in four shifts in problem areas around the city. So far, more than 50 volunteers have signed up for the inaugural cleanup day this Saturday. Volunteers can sign up to work for an hour or longer between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Registration for volunteering is available on Facebook.
All right, and don't forget today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are the third generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957. The Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That has allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and a better parking lot. Visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
You and Jacob used to shop there a good bit when you lived on that side of town, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I went to Palmer's all the time. That's where I did most of my shopping.
But now you live in Verona, so.
But now I live in Verona, so I have to drive.
You know, people are still going to call it Palmer's for like the next 30 years.
I still call it Palmer's.
That's how things work in Mississippi.
Yeah.
There's still people that call University of Southern Mississippi, Mississippi Southern. Okay. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what it used to be called.
How long has it been since they changed it?
Who knows? Probably like 50 years, and people of my dad's generation would still call it Mississippi Southern. So, yeah, it's still going to be Palmer's to a lot of people.
Yeah, and I
which
think...
And
I kind of gathered. I mean, I think it's still owned by the Palmers, I guess.
Right, mm-hmm. And still a good...
I think they're still, you associate it with Palmer.
Yeah, still a good local family-owned business.
Yeah.
You need to support those. So, yeah, thanks to Palmer's, Shoppers Value Foods for sponsoring the program. Well, it's Wednesday, and that does not normally mean crime reports, but we couldn't get to them Monday because of all the news that broke and had a shorter version of the podcast. So, Emma, you have the good luck of being in here for crime reports. Aren't you excited?
I really am. I love the crime reports. I'm excited.
Oh, good, because I got a bunch of them. I had trouble putting some of these on the cutting room floor, so I've got more than usual. Let's go.
Got some good ones?
We do. And all, yeah, what, Chris?
That's why you don't want to skip them this week.
Exactly.
You're just too excited to share
these. These are all from last week. I've already got some up from this week at tipsheet.djournal.com, but these are all some of the highlights from last week. An Auburn woman said two females, a man, and some children, didn't say how many, came to her apartment door with a taser and a knife and threatened to kill her.
Were they Alabama fans?
I mean, maybe. Who's to say they weren't?
I mean, she's Auburn.
Oh, no, not that Auburn, Chris.
Oh. God.
I don't know. Took me a second. Yes, an Auburn woman. No, the Auburn community, I believe, is what we're talking about. But, hey, Bama fans, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, they had their kids with them. Hey, kids, here, grab the taser, Bobby. Cindy Lou, get the knife. We're going to go threaten to kill this lady. This is how we do things in our family.
Don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, so that's a fun family outing there. Go threatening to kill someone with the kids.
It's just not enough stuff to do for young kids, I guess.
Well, at least they're doing it together. Whatever. A County Road 598 Nettleton woman said she was being harassed by a Hispanic man, his wife, and her sister. The wife's sister, I guess. They want her to translate so they can hire an attorney to sue the police for being racist over a drug bust. Catch all that?
Wait a minute. They need her to translate to see whether or not she's being racist?
No, to see if the police are being racist. Apparently, them or somebody in their family got busted for drugs, and they're claiming racism. And
but they don't know.
But apparently they can't speak English.
So they don't know if he's being racist or not.
So I don't know. So they need this...
He might have been talking about how much he loves the Hispanic culture.
Well, I think this one, So anyway, yeah, this woman, they want her to translate. I guess she speaks Spanish and English, obviously. Want her to talk to the police on their behalf or lawyer, or it doesn't say translate to whom.
Well, it said hire an attorney.
So
are they going to pay her?
Well, it said this, so they can hire an attorney. So I guess they want her to translate between them and the attorney because they want to sue the police for being racist. So,
interesting.
Whatever.
I thought they wanted her to translate what the police said. Like, they call the police back.
I don't think so, but okay. It's kind of confusing. I mean, there's so much happening there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a kind of a strange turn.
So, they want to sue the police for allegedly being racist. Meanwhile, they're harassing her, which is, yeah. I'm sure they're totally victims in this whole thing.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Here's a quick one. A Crystal's employee said a customer in a Chevy Avalanche accidentally hit the drive-through speaker.
Come on.
I mean, they're right there. How do you not see it?
They were just really excited about eating Crystal. And I don't blame them.
I guess. They just couldn't wait to get up there to the drive-through speaker. So it's an expensive meal right there.
What time of day was it?
I don't know. Doesn't say.
Wondering about their sobriety.
Who knows? Doesn't mention anything about alcohol. A man attempted to shoplift a knife from a Westgate Drive hunting store. So he's trying to take this knife. The owner physically detained the 24-year-old suspect, who had a bruise over his left eye when police arrived. So this guy has a knife that he shoplifted and still gets the crap beat out of by the owner. Apparently punched him in the face, from what I can tell. Good for him. That's what you get. You don't shoplift at all, but really, let's think about this. Shoplifting from a hunting store? You don't think those guys working there know how to handle themselves?
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. They probably skin some deer.
They wrestle bears to the ground with their bare hands.
Yeah.
That was a pun.
Yeah.
And I like that. A Highway 6 Plantersville man said the smoke detector woke him up around midnight. His wife found the living room full of smoke. A table and window curtain were on fire, and the couple's adult son was sitting in the recliner.
Spontaneous table combustion.
I like that he's just sitting there while everything's burning.
It's a condition.
You know that,
playing a fiddle?
You know that little cartoon with the dog, and he's sitting there with the hat on, and everything's in the room's on fire? He's just like, this is fine.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that? I've showed that to you. That's what this guy was like. This is fine. Everything's fine. Huh?
Was it Nero?
Nero.
He just sat there while Rome burned?
Nah. Chris is full of the jokes today. I didn't give this kid's name. I don't know. I don't know if he lit the fire. He's just sitting there while stuff burns.
He didn't start the fire?
But it was always burning since the world's been turning.
That's what they say.
Who's that, Emma? Quick.
What's Billy Joel.
Very good. She knew about a song that came out before she was born. Impressed.
Maybe not before she was
born.
She
knows nothing about Van Halen, but she can tell you all about Billy Joel. I don't know what that says about you, Emma.
Billy Joel's pretty good.
What does that say about me?
Do you not like Billy Joel?
Yeah, he's okay.
I like Billy Joel.
He's fine. He's whatever. He's fine. What? What are you pointing at?
The door.
What about it? You want me to leave?
Billy Joel would definitely be in my top 15.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. A man was driving down County Road 45 to pick up his kids when four or five men jumped out, stopped the SUV, pulled him out, and beat him with a wood post. A wood post.
Wow.
The suspects broke the man's jaw and shattered the windshield on the Honda Passport. The man did not want to press charges, just have them fix the windshield.
He knew he had it coming.
That, or he just knew they would do it again. I don't know. Fix the windshield, or maybe fix your jaw. That's
awesome. Man, I deserved it. Just fix the windshield. We'll call it even.
Pay the hospital bills. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe so. He's like, knew this was coming, so I'll just take it. I don't know. Why don't you bring my car into it, man? Just beat me. Don't hurt the car. Hurt me. A Windsor Circle man reported someone rolled his yard, poured washing detergent on his cars, and littered his property with tampons.
That's
well, just chucking tampons into the yard.
Well, I'm just going to say, why would you waste them like that? Because they're expensive.
Oh, I know. I have three teenage daughters.
I was going to say, you have lots of women in your house.
I know all about how.
I mean, you just threw like, what?
I mean, I walk around the house.
20 bucks out the.
There's like tampon boxes just all over the house. It's crazy.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, they are expensive. That seems like a waste of.
You might as well just be throwing dollar bills all over the yard. Sorry, that was my first thought when I read that. I'm like, come on, guys.
Oh, boy. Anyway, washing detergent on the cars. Well, nice of him to wash his car for him. Finally, a Lawndale Drive woman said her ex-boyfriend was trying to get custody of her child, even though he is not the father. She said he is jealous because she is now married to his sister. Catch that?
Wait, say that again?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
She is now married to his sister. The baby daddy's sister. He's not the baby daddy. He's the ex-boyfriend. So he's not the father of the child, but I guess maybe he had a relationship with the child because they were dating at one point, so he feels like he needs to have custody. But she's like, nope, he's just jealous because I'm married to his sister. That must have been awkward when the news broke. No longer in love with you, pal. I'm in love with your sister.
Maybe she was just dating him to get to his sister.
I don't know. The woman... Sneaky. Though, the woman had an outstanding contempt of court warrant, was arrested and taken to jail. So, there you go.
So who has the child now?
I have no idea. Didn't say.
Maybe he turned her in so he could get, so she would go to jail and he would get the kid. Yeah.
I don't know. Poor kid.
Lots of scheming going on here. Poor.
Yeah. Kid. Weird love triangle going on right there. That's it for police reports. Read more of those at tipsheet.djournal.com.
And now we've got Jenna Parsons in here to talk to us about this week's food section. Jenna, you've got several things in this section. You have this pork, peaches, and mustard recipe that you made, which sounds delicious. And then kind of along the same lines, you've got grilled vegetables and fruit for cookouts. So tell us about this pork recipe first. It sounds great. I want to try it.
It was. I saw the recipe in Mississippi Magazine, and it had a picture with it. And I saw the recipe, and I thought, we're going to make that. And about that time, my husband told me that he had taken a pork tenderloin out of the freezer to thaw for dinner that night. So it was in the cards that we were going to make that dish, and it was really, really good. When you rub the pork in the spice mixture, and then you wrap it in bacon, and then you slather it with Dijon mustard and peaches, it was really nice. But the directions said to cook it to 140, and I did, and it was a little pink, and I like pork a little pink. I don't like it, you know, tough and well done. But it was a little too pink. So I think the next time I make it, I would let it go up to at least 145, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us about grilling vegetables and fruit to add to a cookout. That's something that I like to do. I like grilled pineapple and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So tell us a little bit about, you know, why that's a good thing to add to those meals.
A lot of people, when they're thinking about, and we're thinking specifically about Memorial Day being the official start of summer and people getting out their grills, and I think the statistics said that 75% of people in the U.S. have a gas grill or a smoker. But most of the time when we think about cookout, the first thing we think is, well, you know, are we going to grill steaks? Are we going to grill ribs? Are we going to do a burger, chicken, bratwurst? And then the sides sort of come later, and a lot of time the sides are what we make inside the home, potato salad, baked beans. And so this is a way to, while you've got the grill going anyway, to put some vegetables and or fruit out there. And so the skewers are really nice because it's got a mixture. Well, you could put anything on there you wanted. But this recipe has bell pepper and onions and tomatoes, squash, zucchini. You could put mushrooms. And then, you know, if you wanted that to be your meal, you could add chicken or beef and make mm-hmm. it, you know, a regular meat kebab. And then, you know, grilled corn is just plain grilled corn with a little bit of butter and salt and pepper is good. But this has a spicy Mexican mayonnaise dressing on it that you rub on it that's just mayonnaise that's kind of been spiced up, and then a little sprinkle of Parmesan cheese makes everything better right there at the end.
Sounds so good, yeah. And so do you have favorite vegetables or fruits to grill personally?
We've never grilled peaches, but I have a recipe for grilled peaches in here that's got a little bit of brown sugar on it, kind of caramelizes. Like you, I love grilled pineapple. Mm-hmm. I did not know you could grill watermelon, but I found recipes. And I don't know what it tastes like, but I found recipes for grilled watermelon. And I've seen people do grilled bananas before, and I've seen them do grilled plums. But I think I'm going to try the peaches when they come in at the farmer's market.
Yeah, I thought peaches would be really good. Okay. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you about was your article asking for people to help you keep the Cook of the Week feature alive. So tell us a little bit, about that.
Well, I've been doing the Cook of the Week for 14 years, and it was really easy at the beginning because it had not been done on a regular basis. Miss Phyllis Harper did it for a while, kind of randomly when she was the food editor. But so at the beginning, I mean, the nominations would come out of the woodwork, and everybody said yes. And it was sometimes I would set up two or three cooks of the week every week, and I would have them done ahead of time. But maybe it's because I've done almost 750 of them, or maybe people are tired of reading the feature. I don't know. But the nominations are not coming in like they used to. And of the ones that do, when I call the people, they're not saying yes. So, and then I've also got nominations in my files that are 14 years old. Some of the people were in their 80s when they were nominated 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking people to, every week for the next however many weeks it takes, we're going to run the names of every cook of the week who's been nominated that's not been contacted. Not for lack of trying, but maybe, mm-hmm. you know, have just said, call me back, or I get a voicemail or an answering machine or something. So we're trying to go through my files and take out the names of the people who have unfortunately passed mm-hmm. or moved. And if people see their name on a list and they didn't know they were nominated and they'd like to be featured, they can give me a call and say, I'd love to do it. If they see their name on the list and they don't want to be featured, they need to give me a call and say, I don't want to do it. Then I can take that out. Mm-hmm. But this morning, in fact, just before I came in here, I had an opportunity to check my voicemail and my email. And before 9 this morning, I had gotten more than 20 Cook of the Week nominations in email and gotten 3 voicemails with nominations, and one woman, Anna Sue McVeigh, who calls regularly, she said, please don't stop this feature. She said, I wouldn't have any reason to get up on Wednesdays. And she is so sweet. I have interviewed her as a cook of the week. She was uh-huh. she was an early one, but she said that on Wednesday mornings when she's in her bed, she thinks, oh, I don't want to get up. And then she says, oh, my recipes are waiting. And so that's why she gets up on Wednesdays, is to see what recipes other people have to share. And, you know, that kind of phone call makes it worthwhile.
Right.
So I hope people still want to hear from cooks in Northeast Mississippi and they want to see their recipes. So I'm hoping that not only will people nominate other people, but that the people who were nominated will say yes.
All right, well, everybody send in your nominations to Jenna so that we can keep those alive, because I like reading them too. So thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
Okay, good show, Emma. Thanks for filling in for Mr. Russell.
Anytime.
You can come back tomorrow as far as I'm concerned. Let him sit over there at his desk and
sulk.
Sulk, yes.
I might come back tomorrow. Don't tempt me, Brad.
We've threatened to replace him with you, but...
Yeah, but we've also threatened to replace you with me.
That wouldn't happen.
Brad is breaking out into a cold sweat.
What?
Mm. I'm describing it because this is audio, so you can't see it.
Oh, right, yeah. Replacing me with someone younger and prettier. That's the way it is these days. Once again, to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. You can visit the locally owned grocery store, formerly known as Palmer's, on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's.
I want to throw in a shout out for something at Palmer's that they do that I think is really cool.
Uh-huh.
They, every time I went in there, they always would carry my groceries out to my car for me.
You don't see that much anymore.
Which I thought was very nice.
I remember when I was a kid, they would do that quite a bit. I think you can still ask.
Well, yeah.
At least like at Kroger, they'll do it for you if you ask. But like it used to be like back in the day when I was a kid, they would just do it pretty much.
So yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, I can carry my own groceries, but, you know, it's really nice.
If you don't have to, let someone else do it.
Friendly customer service.
Yeah, good stuff.
So shout out to Palmer's for that. I'm sorry.
No,
Shoppers
fine.
Value Foods.
Yeah, either way. Hey, you can find us on Twitter, by the way, at DJournalMemo. Send us an email, memo@journalinc.com. I'm on the Twitter, at Brad Locke. Emma's on the Twitter, at E.M. Crawford Kent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mouthful. Shorten that up.
I tried, but...
It wouldn't let you?
It wouldn't let me.
Already taken?
Not yet. There's not a lot of...
At Emma Kent is taken, probably?
Yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah.
See, I got on Twitter back in 08 before everybody else did. So at Brad Locke was still there.
And you don't let anybody forget it.
And at Chris Kiefer was available.
At the same time.
Yeah. So you can follow Chris there on Twitter as well. And that's it for today. We'll be back on Thursday tomorrow for another show. Thanks for tuning in.